flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy, Dylan Matthews, live in the Kia Studios, giving you the hometown take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. It's a Tuesday morning, and I hope you all are doing well. The Atlanta Falcons have found themselves another defensive coordinator. Had to get our sneeze out the way. Bless me. Ohio State wins their first national championship in a decade, and we got championship weekend set in the NFL. So it was a big, big weekend here in the world of sports. But we will start locally here talking about the Atlanta Falcons as, again, Jeff Ulbrich is your new DC here in Atlanta. We will open up the phone lines and give you a chance to react and give your thoughts on the Falcons hiring Jeff Ulbrich as their defensive coordinator. And I'm sure by now a lot of you know that Ulbrich was back here from 2015 to 2020, and he was the linebackers coach under Dan Quinn when Dan Quinn was here. Then in 2020, when Dan Quinn was fired, and Raheem Morris, who was also here as the defensive coordinator, during that same stretch that Jeff Ulbrich was here, when Dan Quinn was fired, Raheem Morris became the interim head coach. And guess who made Jeff Ulbrich the co-defensive coordinator? You guessed it, Raheem Morris. Like I said, I'm sure you all know the backstory by now. So Ulbrich and Raheem Morris called plays together on the defensive side. Jeff Ulbrich did the early downs. Raheem Morris called the late downs. And again, Ulbrich and Morris were co-defensive coordinators. Raheem Morris was the interim head coach. Unfortunately, at the end of that 2020 season, neither one of them were retained, but they both have now made their way back to Atlanta. And the main thing that obviously we're going to touch on today is, was this too safe of a hire for the Falcons? I will say this. I would have really liked the idea of bringing in somebody new, bringing in somebody fresh, bringing in somebody that did not have prior ties to the organization. I would have really liked that, but I do still think Jeff Ulbrich is still a very good coordinator, and I still think he's a very capable defensive coordinator, and I think he will be a good defensive coordinator. Again, would it have nice to bring in somebody like a Wink Martindale, who's got that pedigree of being one of the best defensive coordinators in the NFL? Yes. Would it have been nice to bring in somebody like a Steve Wilks? And yes, Wilks was with the team for a couple of practices during training camp, but no really other prior relationship or tie to the team other than being here for, again, a few training camp practices before this latest season. So, again, it would have been nice to bring in somebody with, again, no prior ties to the team, but I do think this was still a good hire. I don't think it was a bad hire. I think if you would have went the direction of a Sean Desai or a Brandon Staley or somebody like that, then I think you could have argued, okay, this may end up being a bad hire. But I don't think Jeff Ulbrich is a bad hire. It is a safe hire. I will obviously say that. I don't think you can really debate its safeness. But just because it's safe doesn't mean it's a bad hire. I will say that. Just because this is a safe hire doesn't mean it's a bad hire. And I'm not willing to say that hiring Jeff Ulbrich, who is familiar with some of the personnel already here in Atlanta as far as some of the players go, A.J. Terrell, Grady Jarrett, I don't think this is a bad hire. It is a safe hire, but I don't think it's a bad hire. Now, again, I would have liked to see maybe less of a safe hire, but I still think Jeff Ulbrich can make this defense a really good defense. Now that we do have a defensive coordinator here in Atlanta, and we now know that Ulbrich is our guy, he's got some work to do already. He's got a lot of decisions to start making already, him and Raheem Morris, because, again, the Falcons have a lot of free agents on the defensive side of the ball, and we'll see what Jeff Ulbrich decides to do with those guys and what those decisions look like, but I think this ultimately will end up being a good hire for the Atlanta Falcons. I do ultimately think this will end up working out for the Falcons because Raheem and Ulbrich are comfortable with each other. And just because they're comfortable with each other, I don't think that because a lot of people think that, oh, Jeff Ulbrich is just going to come in here and, you know, do whatever Raheem says and, you know, this, that, and the third. I don't necessarily think that's the case. I still think him and Raheem will be able to have different ideas and different takes and kind of collaborate and turn those ideas kind of into one and bring both ideas that the two have together and combine them. Like, I understand, again, I completely understand the frustrations of the fan base that are out there about, you know, making the safe hire and not going outside the box and, you know, bringing in the same, you know, having the same, you know, quote-unquote regime back in 2020 that, you know, that group went 4-7. So I get all that. But you have to remember that these players are different, and while it is the same guys, that was still a lot of what Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff had put on there, and there were still moves that were not great moves by them that, you know, they were trying to save their jobs, and this is not that. I think this is a team that has built a good foundation, and they have made some good moves. They got a really good offense in place. Now, again, they do have a lot of work to do on the defensive side of the ball. And, again, you gotta make some good decisions on that side. But I think this will be different from, obviously, what happened in 2020. Again, this was not their team. This was not Raheem Morris's team. This was a team. It was a team he took over. Just a team he took over in 2020. This is now Raheem Morris's team, though. So I think comparing Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich as a head coach and defensive coordinator then is not fair to compare to what Raheem Morris and Jeff Ulbrich will be as a head coach and defensive coordinator now. I do not think it's fair to compare because situations are different. Those guys are different. Their experience is different. They've been through different things now. So I don't think it's fair to compare. I get why people were comparing it and making those comparisons, but I just don't think it's fair to compare. So, again, wish nothing, obviously, but the best. And I hope that Raheem and Jeff have all the success, because that means the Falcons are also having all the success. And I'm ready to see this team go to the playoffs, point blank, period. Because I'll say this, watching the divisional round and just watching the playoffs, period, this postseason has had a little extra sting in it. Because before this season, the last three seasons, we knew the Falcons weren't going to be very good. I mean, obviously, we were optimistic and hoped that the Falcons would surprise us. But we knew at the end of the day the Falcons weren't going to be that good. We knew at the end of the day where this team was headed. We knew they were headed for 7-10. We knew they were headed for mediocrity. However, this season, this past season, obviously you make all the moves. You bring in Kirk Cousins. You have expectations. And to fall beneath and fall short of those expectations and still watch the postseason, that hits different. When you feel like you should have been in there, obviously starting 6-3, being on top of the world, on top of the division, feeling good about yourselves, talking about walking in traps and taking over traps and swag surfing and all that. And then having the collapse that you had and not making the postseason, coming back to control your own destiny and still not getting the job done, that definitely hurt for sure. And that's why it hurts a little bit more watching the playoffs this time around than it does, than it has the past three seasons. So, anywho, I am just perfectly fine, like I said I would be, with the Jeff Ulbrich hire. I'm not elated. I'm not over the moon. But I think it could work still. And I think it will work still. So, hopefully, again, Ulbrich and Raheem Morris work out this time around. Because, again, last time, I know everybody's pointing out that the record was 4-7 and all that. But this group is different. The defensive side of the ball is going to be different. And there's just a lot of things that are going to be different than what it was back in 2020. So, again, I just straight up don't think it's fair to compare what happened when Raheem and Jeff Ulbrich were taking over what Raheem Morris and Thomas Dimitroff had built and compare that to now to what Terry Fontenot and Raheem Morris have built, and this actually being Raheem Morris's team and this now actually going to be Jeff Ulbrich's defense. Again, these guys were just finishing the job and carrying out what Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff had already started. This is now their team, their mission, their defense. So, to me, it's just a lot different. So, again, like I said, we'll take your calls on it here in about 8 minutes from now, 404-726-0929, if you want to dive in. Again, 404-726-0929. We'll take your thoughts on that as well. Before we go to break, I do want to mention a couple of things that we probably won't have a lot of time to talk about later on in the show because we got a lot to get into. So I do want to mention this. Hawks do lose to the New York Knicks yesterday on MLK Day, unfortunately. By the way, I hope you all had a very good MLK Day. Hopefully you guys got a little bit of rest and relaxation in, got to watch some football, some basketball. So I hope you all had a good day. I hope you all had the day off as well. And I hope you all had a very good Martin Luther King Day. But Hawks did lose to the New York Knicks yesterday, 119-110. Jalen Brunson at 34 points. He was balling out there. How about this, too? Onyeka Okongwu, after really being up there for a possible Eastern Conference Player of the Week, he was in that conversation. Giannis Antetokounmpo ended up getting it, but he was up there, and he should have got it after a very good week. Giannis Antetokounmpo got the start over Clint Capella, who was healthy and played yesterday and just came off the bench. So I wonder if this is a sign of things to come. I wonder if this is going to remain 00. What did I say? Oh, Giannis, my bad. Giannis was on the brain because I was just talking about him winning Eastern Conference Player of the Week over Onyeka Okongwu. But 00, I wonder if this is going to remain a thing. I wonder if Onyeka is going to remain in the starting lineup over Clint Capella, over a healthy Clint Capella. I think it's I don't know actually how I feel about it. I feel a couple of different ways about it because I do like the fact of Onyeka bringing that spark off the bench and bringing that ability to score and rebound and do all the things he does off the bench. And I feel like it's less pressure on Clint to be in the starting lineup because he's got Trey and he's got everybody else in the starting lineup with him. So all he really has to do is what he's been doing, catching lobs, putbacks, a baby hook here and there that hopefully he finishes, and again, just grabbing and crashing the glass. So I don't know how I feel about it, but Onyeka Okongwu definitely deserves to be starting. And look, this is Clint Capella's last year on this team. I don't know if he gets traded. I don't know if there's a point in him getting traded. I don't know what you would get back for him at this point, but Onyeka Okongwu definitely deserves to be starting. He had 14 points, 9 rebounds, by the way. Trae Young shot the ball well from 3, not necessarily from the field, 6-12. He had finished 27 points. So you had 7 guys in double figures. That was good to see. DeAndre Hunter, 22 points off the bench. Clint had 12 off the bench, 12-9. So not bad for Clint either. So, again, Jalen Brunson had a good game, and the Knicks shot pretty well from the field. Didn't shoot great from three-point land, but, you know, he did his thing. Mikal Bridges had 26 as well. So, look, just a good team. You got beat by a good team, and you've had the Knicks number two. That's a tough back-and-forth series between the Hawks and the Knicks. But sucks to see their 3-game winning streak snap, but hopefully they can bounce back. AJ Minter also, real quick before we go to break, he is leaving the Atlanta Braves. He has signed a deal. I got to find the team now. I had it pulled up and I lost it, but I will have it for you here in just a second before we go to break. AJ Minter ends up signing a deal with the New York Mets. Out of all the teams he could go to, he goes to the New York Mets. 2 years, $22 million, and he is going to our NL East rival, one of our NL East rivals in the New York Mets. So that is not great. And again, you wish nothing but the best for AJ, but man, why you got to go to the Mets, man? Again, 2 years, $20 million. Just wanted to bring up those two quick things because we won't have time to talk about them here in these next couple of segments. Because next, we got to talk about that national championship game. Ohio State, first national championship in a decade. We'll talk about how they got it next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and three-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers, getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work, on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my people, all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear loading truck drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my local 613 IBEW workers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospitality workers, hotel workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Shout out to all my local funeral home workers out there, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. All right, if you want to give your thoughts on the Falcons hiring Jeff Ulbrich as their defensive coordinator, I'm getting names all mixed up today. If you want to give a thought on the Falcons hiring Jeff Ulbrich as their defensive coordinator, you can call me up right now. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. And you know what? If you have a thought on the national championship game, you can give your thoughts on that as well. 404-726-0929. You can call me up right now. But in the meantime, we will talk about this national championship game. Ohio State getting the job done as they get the victory over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish with a 34 to 23 victory. Excuse me. There you go. 34-23. I knew I had it, but it moved it from in front of me. Anywho, Ohio State wins their first national championship in a decade. And look, it was pretty much Ohio State from the jump. Notre Dame did go on a nice drive to start the game off. Ohio State bounces right back, gets a touchdown pass to Weihauer, got a touchdown pass to Jeremiah Smith. And then after that, after it was tied at 7, it was pretty much all Ohio State from there. Now, I will say this. I was very impressed with the fight by Notre Dame that they've shown, the fight, the resolve that they've shown all season long. They did get it to obviously within a touchdown and two-point conversion in the fourth quarter. So they got a big stop. What hurt them, obviously, when they got the turnover, they forced a fumble and recovered it, went down, couldn't get the touchdown, but they went for the field goal, and they could not convert on the kick. So that hurt them there, too. That would have cut it to 13. I don't know at that point of how much that would have made a difference, but obviously if they could have went down and scored, for sure, that would have helped. But missing the field goal at that juncture didn't change much, just meant they had to get a two-point conversion twice, and we're down 16 instead of 13. So, look, it felt like this was Ohio State's game to win all along, and I think what a lot of people thought was going to happen happened. Notre Dame, I was honestly surprised at how well they played offensively. I think they actually played pretty good offensively. Riley Leonard, he goes 22 for 31, 255 yards and two touchdowns. I mean, that's pretty good. Riley Leonard looked pretty good, because what I was worried about is Riley Leonard wouldn't be able to throw the ball at all. Like, I was worried that he wouldn't be able to do much through the air at all, and he had a pretty good game. He had a really good game, actually. He made some big throws down the field late in that game to keep it close and to keep the Irish in it. So I was definitely impressed with what Notre Dame was able to do offensively, but they just couldn't do enough. They just could not do enough to keep up with Ohio State. And I thought defensively, even though Notre Dame is good, I did not think they would be able to get enough stops and get the amount of stops they needed to get to win this game and beat Ohio State. I just thought offensively, Ohio State had too much firepower, had too many weapons to neutralize them as much as Notre Dame would have needed to neutralize them. I thought Notre Dame offensively was going to have to play really above themselves. And while they did play better than I expected, they didn't play as well as they needed to win. They were going to have to play nearly perfect to score as many points as they needed to score to get the win, and they just couldn't. Ohio State was able, like I think we all thought, Ohio State defensively was able to get the stops that they needed to, and Ohio State's offense did exactly what we thought. Jeremiah Smith did what he needed to do. He got the big completion and got the big catch, which was a great throw, by the way, by Will Howard, right at the end to pretty much ice the game. Will Howard was good. He goes, 13 of 22, I believe it was, or 17 of 22, something like that. I'll pull the numbers back up. He goes 17 of 21, 231 yards, two touchdowns. He was really good, poised, did exactly what he needed to do, made the big throws when he needed to make them downfield. And then Quinshon Judkins, he ran like a man on a mission, 11 carries for 100 yards, averaged 9.1 yards per carry, had two tutties as well. So running game of Ohio State was really good. They were really balanced overall offensively, and I think that's what we expected. 231 passing yards for Ohio State, 214 rushing yards as well. Jeremiah Smith, obviously their top receiver, 5 receptions, 88 yards, a touchdown as well. And again, had that long 56-yard reception to pretty much ice the game at the end. So, again, I think this was a lot of the game we expected. I think, again, Notre Dame offensively overachieved a little bit, but not enough to obviously take down Ohio State. And Ohio State just did what they had to do. They got enough stops, played their game offensively, and they were able to get the win. So, I would think at this point Ryan Day has saved his job. I think even just making it to the championship game, I think he saved his job, but definitely winning a national championship. I mean, I don't think Ryan Day gets fired after this at all. So you could say he saved his job for sure. And I mean, how about the bounce back for Ohio State? You lose that game to Michigan, last game of the season, terrible loss. You go into the college ball playoff limping, and then you run off, 4 straight games to win the college ball playoff. I mean, that was quite the turnaround for Ohio State to end up winning it all. So you got to feel good about what Ohio State was able to do. And again, for Notre Dame, definitely was room for Marcus Freeman, you know, as a brother to get that win and be the first black head coach to win a national championship. Definitely would have been nice to see that, especially on MLK Day. I mean, how fitting would that have been? But unfortunately, Notre Dame just couldn't get the job done, couldn't get enough stops, couldn't do quite enough offensively to keep up with Ohio State. And again, defenses couldn't make quite enough plays to slow down that very potent Ohio State offense. All right, while we have a couple of minutes here, we will go ahead and take a quick call, 404-726-0929. If you got a thought of the national championship game, or if you have a thought on the Falcons hiring Jeff Ulbrich as their defensive coordinator, we will take your calls as well on that. Let's go out to Gainesville and talk to Hurricane Otis. Hurricane Otis, good morning to you, man. How you feeling this morning, brother?
Pretty good, Dylan. How's it going?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Good to talk to you, man. What's on your mind?
Well, has anybody cleared this with Dukes and Bell yet? if they ain't cleared this decision with Mike, then we're in trouble. So
right. No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I think Mike Bell is going to be a little disappointed this morning or this afternoon, Hurricane Otis.
Oh, you already know, huh?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thanks for talking to you, Dill.
Hey, appreciate you, man. Appreciate you, Hurricane Otis. Yeah, Hurricane Otis is absolutely right. Mike Bell is not going to like this. I've already seen a couple of tweets from Mike Bell, Hurricane Otis, and he is not too pleased with the hiring of Jeff Ulbrich. And Mike feels the way that a lot of Falcons fans feel. I don't think all Falcons fans feel this way, but I think a solid majority of Falcons fans feel this way. They just feel like the hire was too comfortable. They just feel like the hire was too comfortable. It was too familiar. They wanted to bring in somebody, Mike Bell included. They wanted to bring in somebody that did not have any prior ties to this team. And I get it. And I was kind of in the same boat. Now, am I mad about the hire? No, and I don't think Mike Bell is mad about it. You'll find out at 2 o'clock just exactly how he feels about it when he talks about it. But I'm not mad about it. I'm just not overly excited about it. I'm cool with it. Like, I'm fine with it. I feel fine about it. But I'm not over the moon. I'm not elated. And I'm not angry. I'm not mad about it either. I'm just fine with it. I'm just like, okay, that's the direction they wanted to go. All right, we move. Now let's make some decisions on who we're going to bring back free agent-wise and what we're going to do as far as the draft goes with that 15th overall pick. So that's where I'm at with it. I'm okay with it. I'm fine with it. Not angry, not over the moon elated, not overly excited either way. So we'll see. Again, what the Falcons decide to do is now they have a lot of personnel moves to think about and talk about and make decisions on as we move throughout this offseason. But we still got NFL football being played, and that's what we're going to talk about 5 minutes from now here on the Hometown Take. Championship weekend set in the NFL as the college football season has ended, and now all the eyes turn fully to the NFL. Who is going to make it to the Super Bowl in New Orleans, and who and we'll recap divisional weekend as well. All that and more coming up next here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning, coming off a big weekend in sports here, not only in Atlanta with the Falcons hiring Jeff Ulbrich as their defensive coordinator, but we had the national championship game in college football yesterday. Ohio State wins their first national championship in a decade with a 34-23 win over the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. So Ohio State, the Buckeyes, getting the job done. I know Joe Patrick is sleeping well this morning. And then we also had the divisional round of the NFL playoffs over the weekend, too. Championship weekend is now set. It will be the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game for what? Is this the fifth, sixth straight year they've been in the AFC Championship game? Who? I lost count at this point. I don't even know. I really don't know. But they're in the AFC Championship game again, looking to make their third straight Super Bowl. And if they make it all the way there, they'll be looking to win their third straight Super Bowl as well. But first, they will have to go through Josh Allen. They're out there looking for revenge. The Buffalo Bills will take on the Kansas City Chiefs in KC this upcoming Sunday. And then on the NFC side, you will have a NFC East battle for the NFC Championship game, if you can put all that together. It'll be the Philadelphia Eagles taking on Jaden Daniels and the Washington Commanders, and former Falcon Dan Quinn looking to go to a Super Bowl with a second team. So that could be a big accomplishment for Dan Quinn there. But before we talk about those games, we'll talk about those games leading up to the games all week. So don't worry. We'll get our fill in on championship weekend. But let's talk about how these teams got to being a part of championship weekend. Let's first start with the Kansas City Chiefs. They took down the Houston Texans, C.J. Stroud and the Houston Texans. And that was the first game on Saturday. And the Chiefs able to get the job done. And look, I thought the Texans weren't necessarily bad. It's just the Chiefs won. They definitely, I'm going to go ahead, put it out there. What everybody is thinking, they did get some favorable calls. The Kansas City Chiefs did get some favorable calls. Patrick Mahomes got a couple of favorable calls. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. They got some favorable calls. Look, that's what happens when you are that guy. And right now, Patrick Mahomes is that guy in the NFL, and the referees are keeping a close eye on him, making sure they don't get hurt because, look, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to be protecting quarterbacks, and when that quarterback is one of the best, if not the best, in the league, that's just what happened. So I'm not saying it's right, but Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs definitely got bailed out on some calls because that one roughing the passer call was weak, and that one unnecessary roughness call on Patrick Mahomes when he was sliding, weak. So, look, that definitely didn't help the cause of the Houston Texans, but at the end of the day, I don't think that's why they lost the game. They just couldn't get it going against a really good Kansas City Chiefs defense. And look, the Chiefs, they did what they had to do on offense. Kareem Hunt, big touchdown there. And look, this Kansas City Chiefs offense isn't anything like spectacular, but they just make big plays when they have to. Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce just make big plays when they have to. And how about playoff Travis Kelce? He's different. You know, I know Jimmy Butler's got a lot of drama going on right now, but, you know, he likes to turn up in the playoffs when he's in it. How about Travis Kelce turning up in the playoffs? They call Jimmy Butler playoff Jimmy. Let's call Travis Kelce playoff Trav, because that's what he was on Saturday. 7 catches, 117 yards, and a touchdown for Travis Kelce. I mean, he had quite the performance. I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he didn't have to do a whole lot. Again, when you got a defense that only gave up 14 points, it's okay if you go 16-25 for 177 yards and a touchdown. At that point, you just got to take care of the football. And we know Patrick Mahomes is good enough to definitely do that. But this Chiefs defense sacked C.J. Stroud 8 times. 8 times. That's a reason the Texans lost. Again, didn't help that you got some bogus calls that didn't go your way, but being sacked 8 times is a reason you lose. And look, the Houston's offense, they got the yardage, but they just couldn't score in the red zone when it mattered. Had the turnovers, had too many giveaways. They didn't even really have any giveaways. C.J. Stroud had a fumble, but they ended up recovering it. But still, you couldn't punch it in when you needed to, because you had 187 passing yards total. C.J. Stroud technically passed for 245, but the net was 187. Anywho, the Team as a whole rushed for 149 yards. Joe Mixon, 18 carries, 88 yards, a touchdown. So, look, you got the yardage you needed. You just couldn't finish it off when you needed to if you're the Texans. So, definitely a tough break for them. And, look, it was another one-score game, a close one for the Chiefs, but they did what they had to do to hold on. And, look, you figure when it comes to when it comes time to cut the check, you figure Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and those Chiefs are going to be ready to do so and always prepared to do so. And this time was no different. But, again, definitely some calls went their way, and that definitely helped their cause a little bit. Let's move on to Commanders Lions. This was the shootout I think everybody expected. Definitely a big back-and-forth game, but Jared Goff just had a rough day and had a bad game at the literal worst possible time. Jared Goff, 3 interceptions Saturday night, and you just cannot do that in the playoffs. And you cannot do that against a very good Washington Commanders offense that they don't need any extra help scoring. They don't need any extra possessions to put points on the board. And when you give it to them, more times than not, it's not going to finish well for you. But Jared Goff, 23 of 40, 313 yards, a touchdown, but 3 interceptions. And I don't know if this is more Ben Johnson's fault or more Jameson Williams' fault, but what in the heck is Jameson Williams doing throwing the ball and it ends up being an interception? I have to think that's more so on Jameson Williams. And look, maybe it's not the right play call at the right time. I get that. So, you know, I'm not completely putting all the blame on Jameson Williams. But you cannot, if you're Jameson Williams, you cannot throw that ball unless the guy is wide open. And I'm sure that's what the instructions are for that play. Like, they got to be telling him on that play, all right, Jameson, this is the play where you potentially get to throw the ball, whatever their play is called. But Jameson, if it's not wide open, if the dude's not wide open, don't be a hero. Just run out of bounds or throw the ball away. Live to see another down. Jameson Williams did that in what, like double coverage or whatever it was? I mean, what was he thinking? You got to throw that ball away. And look, I know he's not a quarterback who is used to reading a defense or anything like that, but if the guy ain't wide open, throw it away, Jameson. What are you doing? So that obviously didn't help. 4 interceptions overall from the Lions. Again, 3 from Jared Goff and that one bad one coming from Jameson Williams. And look, this was, again, another game where Lions did what they had to do offensively as far as point scoring. I mean, they still scored 31 even with Jared Goff throwing 3 interceptions, Jameson Williams throwing an interception, and they did it on the ground too. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs by himself, 105 yards, 2 touchdowns. Jameson Williams had that big run for a touchdown. David Montgomery back, he wasn't super effective, only seeing 7 carries for 28 yards, but overall they rushed for 201 yards. So just too many turnovers. Jared Goff, let's try that again. He lost a fumble as well. So 4 total turnovers from Jared Goff himself, 3 interceptions and a lost fumble, and then 5 total turnovers as a team. You just cannot do that. With your defense already being beat up as it was, nowhere near fully healthy, in a Washington Commanders offense that is really good, you cannot have 5 total turnovers as a team. Jared Goff cannot have 3 interceptions and a lost fumble. That just cannot happen. Jaden Daniels, though, how about Jaden Daniels, man? And how about Dan Quinn? First year as the Commanders head coach, and he's got them in the NFC Championship game. This team is just feels like they got luck on their side. And I don't know if that luck is going to run out against the Philadelphia Eagles, but, man, they have been on a ride, the Washington Commanders has. And, look, Jaden Daniels is that dude. And it was interesting hearing them talking about, like, the VR training that he does to help him get more reps and how that helps him be so cool, calm, and collected in these big moments. Because, again, he is performing at a high level when it matters the most. 22 of 31, 299 yards, 2 touchdowns, did not get sacked once. I mean, his ability to escape the pocket, run and just get some sort of yardage on each and every play and not lose down and distance by not getting sacked, that is huge for the Commanders. Commanders ran for 182 yards total as well. Brian Robinson, 15 carries, 77 yards, two touchdowns. Jaden Daniels ran the ball 16 times for 51 yards as well. And Austin Eckler had six carries for 47 yards as well. So, I mean, man, oh, man. The Commanders are just, they're playing some of their best ball right now at the best time. So, you gotta be feeling very, very good if you're the Washington Commanders. Let's go over the Sunday games quickly while we got a couple of minutes. Rams-Eagles. The Rams were there, had a chance, but Jalen Carter, the Georgia native, the Georgia boy, the dog. There was a lot of dog-on-dog crime in that game. Jalen Carter gets the big sack for the Philadelphia Eagles to make it fourth and long. The Rams couldn't convert, and the Eagles, whoo, by the skin of their teeth, get the win. I thought this game was going to be close like it was. And Matthew Stafford and the Rams almost. Everybody thought when Puka Nacua made that catch downfield, the Rams are going to go score. But that Philly defense bowled up when they needed to at the end. Like I said, Jalen Carter getting that big sack. Overall, the Eagles defense had five sacks. The Rams defense had a lot of sacks, too. Seven sacks on Jalen Hurts. So a lot of sacks in this game. But the Eagles got the biggest one when it mattered the most. And they're going to be moving on to the NFC Championship game. And then quickly, while we have a couple seconds here, do want to touch on Ravens-Bills. This was a back-and-forth affair. I thought it would be a quick game. A lot of running the football. I thought it would be a quick game. But the Ravens, again, just hurting themselves. Mark Andrews. You got to feel bad for Mark Andrews, man. You have the fumble that maybe could end up being a touchdown if he didn't fumble the ball. And then they were able to come back anyway. We're a two-point conversion away from tying the game. You had the look you wanted, and then Mark Andrews drops a two-point conversion too. So you had the big fumble, and then you have the two-point conversion drop. I mean, again, just yeah, there was the Zay Flowers fumble last year, and now this year the Mark Andrews fumble and the Mark Andrews two-point conversion drop. That's absolutely a tough pill to swallow. So you'll feel for Lamar, you feel for Derrick Henry after the great years they've had. But it's just the way the cookie crumbles sometimes. But should be a fun championship weekend. We'll talk about it more as we move throughout the week. But coming up next, Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson. We'll see what they got up for a Tuesday edition of The Morning Shift. I'll talk to you tomorrow on a hump day at 5 a.m. sharp. Until then, The Morning Shift starts next on Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.